Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, November 22nd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. There is a new political transition agreement in Sudan.
We will continue our demonstrations, our resistance, until we have this dictatorship and we overthrew the previous dictatorship in Sudan.
Kenya announces COVID-19 vaccination mandate. A popular Somali journalist is killed by Al-Shabaab suicide bomber. A number of Chinese gold miners have been abducted in eastern DRC, and Uganda's president vows to defeat terrorists.
We are hunting the ones who are not yet arrested, and my appeal to the ones who are involved, please come out. It's a better option for you than staying, because we are coming for you for sure.
And a look at the anti-CFA movement in West Africa. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley's sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Sudanese Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok has been reinstated to his position after reaching a new political agreement with the military leaders on Sunday. The agreement allows the release of all political detainees arrested last month following the dissolution of cabinet and the suspension of some articles of the constitution. Sudanese political parties have rejected the new deal, saying it violates the constitution and will not resolve the country's crisis. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The 14-point deal signed in Khartoum on Sunday by Sudan's military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok stipulates that the 2019 constitutional declaration be the basis for a political transition in the country. The agreement calls for a timely transfer of power to an elected civilian government and an investigating into the killing and injuring of peaceful protesters. It also stipulates that the Sovereignty Council should supervise the implementation of the transitional period duties without interfering in the executive work. Speaking shortly after the signing ceremony, Sudanese Prime Minister Hamdok says he signed the agreement to stop the bloodshed of Sudanese youth.
We want to stop the bloodshed of the Sudanese people. I know our youth are capable of enduring and sacrificing anything precious for this country. But the Sudanese blood is precious. Let's stop this bloodshed and preserve the energy of our young people for building and development.
Hamdok says the agreement will enable the transitional government to preserve what had been achieved for the past 2 years. Hamdok was placed under house arrest when the military seized power on October 25th. Speaking also during the signing, Sudan's military leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan vowed to cooperate with political forces to achieve the objectives of the Sudanese revolution.
We will keep our promise to the Sudanese people and to our friends that we will complete the path that we began until we go to a free and credible election.
The military dissolved Hamdok's cabinet, suspended some articles of the constitution, and detained several civilian leaders during the military takeover that al-Burhan regards as a correction of the Sudanese revolution. The move triggered countrywide mass demonstrations against the military. Sudanese Doctors Association said at least 40 pro-democracy activists have been killed by the Sudanese security forces since October 25th, a claim Sudanese police have denied. The Sudanese political parties condemn the new deal and said the agreement violates the constitution. The Forces for Freedom and Change, or FFC, a civilian coalition which had been sharing power with the military, said it did not recognize any agreement with the armed forces. We affirm our clear and previous announcement position. No negotiation, no partnership, and no legitimacy for the military, the FFC said in a statement. Sudanese Communist Party leader Sadiq Yusuf says the agreement will not fulfill the aspirations of the Sudanese people to achieve democracy transformation in the country.
We are against any negotiations with the military people. We are for a complete democratic change without any relationship with the military. Of course, what happened to them is to go back to the constitutional document, to go back to the previous Council of Ministers, and without saying what are the changes to be done.
Sadiq says the military has no legitimate right to decide and amend the constitution that political parties have put a lot of effort into. He says Hamdok has betrayed the political forces who initially brought him to the position.
We will continue our demonstrations, our resistance, until we overthrow this dictatorship as we overthrew the previous dictatorship in Sudan.
According to some regional analysts, the agreement signed Sunday was reached after continued pressure from Western countries who had earlier condemned the military takeover and suspended some economic assistance to Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni has vowed to defeat domestic terrorism that have rocked the country in recent weeks. Addressing the nation over the weekend, the president said he is working with other African leaders to ensure domestic terrorists are defeated. His address came days after twin bomb blast killed three people and left scores injured in the capital, Kampala. Reporter Mugumi Davis Rakariji has more from Kampala.
We are hunting the ones who are not yet arrested, and my appeal to the ones who are involved, please come out. Come out, and it is better. It's a better option for you than staying, because we are coming for you for sure.
That is President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni addressing the nation this past weekend on matters of security. A series of bomb blasts started this October, one at an eatery in Kampala, and then a suicide bomber in a bus. The very latest this month, a twin bomb blast in Kampala claimed three lives, including a police officer, according to President Museveni. The president said at least 12 local terrorists associated with the rebel group, Allied for Democratic Forces, have been killed and more than 100 arrested. President Museveni said the government will use modern technology, such as CCTV cameras, to wipe out terrorists in the country.
We are also going to digitally equip all vehicles and all pikipikis, a device which somebody cannot remove, so that and which will be able to tell us which vehicle was here and there at a particular time.
Mr. Museveni said he is discussing with other regional leaders about how to better fight terrorists.
We are discussing with the Congo government. We shall get them. And the president contacted me from all parts of Africa, and I was telling them the situation, and we are really going to get to solve this problem of ADF.
The president also assured the country that there is enough vaccines for eligible citizens, and that he plans to fully open the economy at the beginning of next year. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
In Somalia, the militant group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for Saturday's killing of Somali journalist Abdiaziz Mohamed Gule, director of the government-run Radio Mogadishu. He was killed Saturday by a suicide bomber while leaving a restaurant. The Committee to Protect Journalists says Somalia remains the world's worst country for unsolved killings of journalists. Abdallah Mumi is Secretary General of the Somali Journalist Syndicate, a Somali journalist union. He says the late Gule was a marked man because his popular radio program was critical of Al-Shabaab defectors into the Somali National Army and security forces.
Addressing a news conference in Nairobi over the weekend, Cabinet Secretary for Health Mutahi Kagwe said that those who are not fully vaccinated by December 21st this year will miss out on some services.
Everybody seeking in-person government services should be fully vaccinated and proof of vaccination availed by December 21st, 2021. Such service will include but not limited to KRA services, education, immigration services, hospital and prison visitation, NTSA, and port services, among others. Show proof of vaccination when using domestic flights. B. Show proof of vaccination before use of train services. C. Show proof of vaccination before boarding buses, matatus, and all regional travelers.
His counterpart from the tourism ministry, Najib Balala, reiterated that the same directive will be extended to hotels and tourist attraction sites.
All facilities, both hospitality and travel, will require every person entering being admitted to have fully vaccinated certificates. And they're all digital, so it's easy to recognize. All national parks and protected areas will also demand the same from the 21st of December.
The directive has elicited mixed reactions from Kenyans, as the government had earlier mentioned that COVID-19 vaccination will not be mandatory. Nairobi-based businessman Emmanuel Oduor accuses the government of going back on its promise by making vaccination mandatory.
I don't agree with the government's directive that for you to acquire government services, you have to be vaccinated. I think it is very wrong considering when vaccination began, the government promised that the vaccination process is going to be a voluntary one because we have different groups of people in the country, different people have different beliefs about the vaccine. And so I don't think people should be forced to get vaccinated in order to access the services that actually the government should be providing, because that will be discrimination and it is not supposed to happen.
A little over 6.3 million Kenyans have been vaccinated so far across the country. The government had targeted to vaccinate at least 10 million people by the end of the year. Starting tomorrow, Tuesday, teenagers 15 years and above will be included in the Pfizer vaccination drive to enable the government to reach its target. Atieno Odhiambo, VOA Daybreak Africa, in Nairobi, Kenya.
Abdallah Mumin is Secretary General of the Somali Journalist Syndicate, a Somali Journalist Union. You are speaking with us from Mogadishu. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voices of America. I'm James Batty in Washington. Today is Monday, November 22nd. Kenyans who are not fully vaccinated against COVID-19 will not be able to acquire some services come December 21st, following a recent directive by the Ministry of Health. These include in-person government services, hotels, bars, restaurants, as well as domestic flights. As Atieno Ojiambo reports from Nairobi, this comes as the government says it plans to lower the vaccination age from 18 years to 15.
Chinese have a lot of mining areas in Fizi territory in South Kivu. And today there was a bad information that they was attacked by an armed group, but no one know which armed group it is. And they killed one guy and kidnapped a lot of Chinese. People say about 6 or 5. No one know the real number. But I talked to the administrator of that territory who confirmed the news and say that there is some military who are following the kidnappers.
Why would someone want to attack Chinese miners?
There are a lot of reasons. First is 3 months. There is a clash between locals and Chinese in those mining sites because according to people and the civil society, Chinese didn't respect human rights and the locals' agreement for working in the mining sites. And they used to use military soldiers to beat workers and even locals if something happened. And they don't pay on a good time their workers. And at the moment, the government of South Kivu territory decided to suspend the activities of 6 Chinese companies, but the central government from Kinshasa allowed them to work again. So locals are hungry against Chinese, so that I think a militia could be a local defense militia that do that.
Is there any DRC military operation in that area?
Yes, there is a big operation because that area has a big activity of militia, and there are an operation Sokola 2 who is active in that region since 2 years, tracking for all armed group. According to the civil society, even soldiers involved in the military operation are the one who are working with Chinese to beat population and to rob people there.
So some military personnel are implicated or are involved with the Chinese?
Yes, there is a civil society report about that. And they asked even to the chief command of FRDC to leave all soldiers in mining sites.
Thank you so much, Jaffa. It's so nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
Unidentified gunmen in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo have abducted five Chinese gold miners, killed a police officer, and wounded another. Journalist Jaffa Al-Katanti in Eastern DRC says there has been friction between the Chinese gold miners and residents who accuse the Chinese of not respecting their cultures and sometimes using DRC police to beat the locals.
Abdelaziz Mohamed Goulet, popularly known as Abdelaziz Africa, has been a very critic and active reporter whom I have known since 2010 when he joined the state media. His TV program has been vocal and very critic to the defectors from Al-Shabaab coming into Somali security forces. This program included interviews with suspected defectors from Al-Shabaab into the Somali National Army and Security Forces. This has made him one of the enemies of the militant group, but also other groups within. Abdelaziz has fled the country sometime in 2017 and returned back only in 2019 from exile. That was after he received threats from Somali security forces, forcing him to flee the country and staying abroad for a while. Unfortunately, last night, on Saturday night, he was killed by a suicide bomber. Al-Shabaab had claimed the responsibility, but there are a lot of suspicions on how his movement has been tracked down by the suicide bomber, when the place where the attack has taken place is also a very popular place where the security force are staying, and Somali security forces have been hating the security of that area.
How safe is it for journalists to work in Somalia, particularly in the wake of the Al-Shabaab militant operation?
Journalists in Somalia are working in a very dangerous situation. I'm talking about, from our statistics, since 2017, 12 journalists killed in the country. The latest incident was March this year when another journalist was shot dead by gunmen in central Somalia. Abdelaziz becomes the second journalist murdered in this year. This means the number of journalists who have been shot and killed have increased since 2017. Most of these are targeted assassinations. Unfortunately, there are no credible investigations into these killings and why these journalists were killed. But what we do know is that impunity is on the rise. Somalia, as you know, is on the top of the list of the countries where journalist killers go free. We are working in a very volatile situation. Threats are daily occurrence for journalists. Journalists are receiving daily threats because of what they are reporting. Journalists reporting issues regarding the security, corruption, and wrongdoings of the state officials and the police are continuously targeted. Those reporting on the operations of the militant group Al-Shabaab are also targeted. It is like nowhere to run.
That was journalist Jaffa Al-Katanti in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Senegalese economist and CFA franc critic Ondongo Sila published a book this year that takes a look at the history and imperial monetary policy of the West African currency used in 14 countries on the continent. Sila spoke to Ricky Stryak about both the status of current anti-CFA movements on the continent as well as his book, Africa's Lost Colonial Currency, the CFA franc story.
The CFA franc, we could say, is a French currency because it's a currency controlled by the French Treasury. That means that the French Treasury monitors financial flows between, let's say, the countries that use the CFA franc and the rest of the world. For example, until the reform, the December reform, the 2029 reform announced by Macron and Ouattara, all, let's say, conversions of CFA franc into dollars or other currencies other than the euro, normally would be made through the French Treasury.
Can you tell me a little bit about the December reform?
Well, in fact, you know, there had been a lot of criticism against the CFA franc by individual Pan-African movements. And there have been two types of criticism. The one is what I call the political symbolic criticism, saying that, for example, while the name CFA franc reminds us of colonialism, the fact that the banknotes and the coins are still manufactured by the Bank of France in France, the franc central banks, and also the fact that these central banks are obliged to deposit at least one half of their foreign reserves at the French Treasury. And to address partially those kind of criticism, Macron and Ouattara in December 2019, they said that they would reform the CFA franc. So the first reform, the first element of the reform is that they will close the operation accounts. The operation account is the account where the foreign exchange reserves of the BCAO, of the BEIAC, are deposited. Second thing was that they would remove the French representatives from the organs of the BCAO.
That was Undongo Sila, co-author of Africa's Last Colonial Currency, the CFA franc story. He was speaking to Ricky Stryat from Dakar, Senegal. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James. We begin the sport in Lisbon, Portugal, where Ugandan Jacob Kiplimo broke the half-marathon world record on Sunday with a time of 57 minutes, 31 seconds. The world half-marathon champion, Jacob Kiplimo, won Sunday's race by over 2 minutes and took 1 second off the previous world best established by Kenya's Kibuwot Kandi in Valencia last year.
For me, I'm not often. I'm very often. The course was nice. Just one of the last 3 kilometers. That's where the wind was too much. But I did my best.
Staying with athletics, Kenya is among 5 other athletics federations across 6 continents that has been nominated for the 2021 World Athletics Member Federation Award. The winner will be announced at the 2021 World Athletics Award to be held virtually on December the 1st. Athletics Kenya President Jackson Tui is confident that his federation will back the 2021 World Athletics Member Federation Award, considering the fact that the country has done better than the other 5 other nominees in terms of organization and delivery this year, despite the huge challenge posed by COVID-19 pandemic. In boxing news, Nigerian boxer Olariwaju Dorodola was knocked out in the 5th round by Richard Riapo in the WBC Silver Cruiserweight match at Wembley Arena on Saturday to set up a future WBC world title fight British Cruiserweight. Riapo floored the Nigerian in the opening seconds of round 5. Olariwaju Dorodola got up, but the referee intervened moments later as Riapo unleashed another fury of punches. Riapo is now the mandatory challenger to the winner of the fight between current champion Ilunga Makabu and Saul Canelo Alvarez. In football news, new CAF Women's Champions League winners Mamelodi Sundowns received a warm welcome from fans on Sunday when the ladies arrived home from their historic victory in Cairo. Mamelodi Sundowns beat Hasaka Ladies of Ghana 2-0 to win the title of the first edition of the Toto CAF Women's Champions League, an add to the men's team achievement of winning CAF Men's Champions League in 2016. Zanile Mflapo, the Mamelodi Sundowns captain, says the CAF Women's Champions League will help develop the women's game on the continent.
We had a plan before we went to Cairo. Our plan was to win the tournament. And of course, we won the tournament. We are happy the Champions League has opened a lot of gates for so many players.
Jerry Shabalala is the winning coach of Mamelodi Sundowns ladies.
Look at the final. We managed to score 2 goals, something people never thought that we would do. But we definitely did it. It was through teamwork, you know. And I'm happy. I'm really happy.
And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good day. And that's it for this Monday, November 22nd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James.